When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of the Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub. Hello and welcome back to the Moon Underwater, where we are with YouTuber Max Fosh designing his dream pub, and it is an epic beast so far. Before the break, Dan, you were doing a pub quiz. Do you want to give us the answers section bit thing where we answer it?
Yep. We're doing silliest world records.
Yeah.
So, to the nearest 10 centimetres, what is the current world record for the furthest distance squirting milk from the eye?
So, I've got a bit of history with this.
Ooh.
I've not done it myself, but I did a stand-up show a couple of years ago where I was trying to find the best specialist skill or party trick in the country. And there were three people who got to the final. A woman who could open any bottle of Prosecco or champagne with her buttocks.
That's impressive.
It was a squeeze and twist kind of situation. Yeah. A man who had shoulder blades that were so pronounced that when he contracted them, they would crush any aluminium can in between his shoulder blades. And the third individual could make our milk squirt out of his eye.
Yeah.
And so, is it to the closest 10 centimetres, you say?
Yeah.
So I reckon we take turns to go first, and then the other one...
Okay.
Should the other one just go higher or lower? Because otherwise...
That's a good
because otherwise you're just going to pick one more or one
we'll
less
take
anyway.
Turns, we'll take turns.
Yeah, okay. Right. I will start.
Or, unless you just want to have fun and guess the...
Yes, 1.5 meters, so 150 centimeters.
150 centimeters. Robbie.
I'm going to go higher.
Robbie's correct. 279.5 centimeters by Ilke Yilmaz of Turkey in 2004. On the YouTube video of it, people said, "How do you do it?" And someone said, "It's easy. Stick your nose with your fingers, scoop water in your mouth, and focus on letting air with your eye out."
Of course.
Oh, right, all right, okay.
So that's nearly 3 meters.
Yeah.
That's...
Focus on letting air with you. I don't even know where I would...
It was not a good explanation, so it made me laugh.
Okay, so...
It's an impressive video.
It is a very, very impressive skill as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Very important if your friend has got a cup of tea 3 meters away and the milk is back in the fridge.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, 1-0 to Robbie. Nick Vermeulen has the world's largest collection of airline sick bags. 2 points on offer here. How many does he have? And from how many airlines?
I'll do the how many does he have.
Yeah.
I'll start with that.
Okay.
I think he has...
Good games, quick game.
382.
382 sick bags. Yep. Higher or lower?
That's a lot of different airlines.
This is just the sick bags. He might have the same one 100 times.
Oh, yeah, no. He'll have thousands of sick bags, so higher.
Yep, you are correct. 6,016 sick bags.
Are they all different?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he'll have like economy, premium economy, business class and first class and pilot sick bags. Yeah.
Wow, fair enough.
Probably all different ones.
1-1.
How many airlines?
Well, he will have, he'll have the amount of the number of airlines there have ever been in history.
Okay.
So I reckon there have been 272 airlines.
I'll get higher.
Higher. Robbie's correct. 1,142 different airlines.
Wow.
I guess, he could do all the individual, like, domestic little airlines between, rural bits and places in Canada. So, yeah. Good on you.
Yeah, well done.
I wonder whether he gets travel sick.
Yeah. Well, you'd hope not. Otherwise, he's going to keep collecting one and then ruining it.
Ruining it. Yeah.
He gets the rarest one. He's like...
Okay. Dalibor Jablanovic of Serbia holds the world record for the most number of spoons balanced on his body while standing up. But how many did he balance?
I want to know what the record is for spoons balanced on bodies whilst lying
down. Yes. That's a real event for me.
That's the real one for me.
Who's guessing this?
It's me, I think, isn't it? I'm going to guess 65.
Way more than that. 120.
You're right, it's more, but it's not quite so much. 79.
You still get it for just
still get
point.
It. 2-2. This is exciting.
This is very exciting. What, we could get a draw here.
Yeah. USA hairdresser Steve Walden started collecting the hair from his salon to make the world's largest hairball. But how heavy is it in kilos, Max Fosh?
How much is the weight of one's hair on their head just at any given point?
Is that... weigh my hair. I've got the most hair here, so I'll weigh it.
Robbie has a lot of hair. Yeah.
It's not that heavy.
No, it's probably maybe a few hundred grams at most.
At most, yeah.
But I think he's got hundreds. If he works as a hairdresser.
He does, so. Yeah.
Answering kilos, just to make it.
15 and a half kilos.
15 and a half kilos.
Higher. I think it's going to be like 1,000 or something like that.
It is higher. It's not quite that much. 102.12 kilograms. 4 foot tall. 14 feet in circumference. And it has hair from 3,000 people. Because he had a big one. He took it to Ripley's Believe It or Not exhibition.
How?
And then people started cutting their own hair and they'd stick it and they'd put it on.
Crowdsourced it.
Yeah, crowdsourced it.
And you can beat that, Max. Get that hairball going.
You have got to watch that video.
You're just going to have it in your lounge.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Steve gets very emotional talking about his hairball.
Does he?
Yeah. He's like literally got a tear in his eye talking about it. It's a real...
God, you really can't
get a lot into it.
An open flame should not go anywhere near that hairball.
No, because there's a lot of spray on it. Yeah,
I bet there would be.
And he said he did it for the love of his children and future grandchildren. Because as we know, that is how you express love, by collecting
his
giant
kids big
ball.
Hair fans.
Yeah.
Mine aren't. I've not expressed interest in hair, but I've never really offered them to them.
It's not on the roster of like normal things you suggest to a child if they want to get it, like ballet, football, rugby, biking, hair. Yeah. It's not on that list normally.
Giant hairball. Yes. Okay. So who won that? Robbie.
Me.
3-2 to Robbie. How many people took part in the current record for largest human mattress dominoes? And it's Robbie's guess.
I think this is also just a logistical issue of getting the mattresses all in
one
place.
Oh, yeah, you could see the mattresses. Mm. I think 2012.
Okay. Max, higher or lower?
I think it's less than that.
Okay. I mean, this is quite incredible.
I think it's fewer.
It's more, but only by 4.
Unreal knowledge of mattress dominoes.
2016.
Was it set in 2016?
Absolutely. It was.
I was the one. Here's my plaque.
That is incredible.
Wow. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
I've never been only good at anything before, but
guessing mattresses.
Mattresses. Yeah, wow. There we go.
4-2. Robbie pulls away.
Yeah.
Wow.
They gave 300 away to a local charity afterwards.
What do they do the other?
I don't know. That's the point. That'll happen to the other 1,700. Yeah. Great.
Wow.
Enjoy
that.
Thank
you very much, Dan.
Thank you very much, Dan, for that quiz. 4-2, Robbie. I can't believe I've lost.
Very, very good. Time now for spirits, Max. Mm. What's your first choice of spirit going to be?
The spirit of Christmas. No. I am quite pissed.
I wouldn't drive.
Number one is a Lagavulin 16-year-old Isla Peaty whiskey.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty posh. Okay.
Pretty posh.
Lagavulin, not familiar with.
And you're not familiar with Lagavulin. So no. It's one of the whiskies that you get off the Isle of Islay, which is off the west coast of Scotland. And they, along with a couple of the distilleries up in Skye, they specialise in very peaty whiskey. So peat is kind of a naturally occurring source of fuel. And I think they burn it underneath the hops to give it a really smoky flavour. So it's incredibly smoky. And I've never really liked whiskey. And then in lockdown, my job was to like whiskey.
This isn't the first time someone's come on and said, I didn't like whiskey till lockdown. At least
Taylor?
One other person.
Was it
I gave myself a job, which was to like whiskey. A little bit of what you're talking about on the previous episode about, when you're younger and you're drinking beer, you don't like it until you eventually just like have to start liking it. And it was the same with whiskey. So at 4 o'clock every day, I would have a dram of whiskey with ice. And it just, I think it became a bit of a rite of passage because I thought it's a very masculine thing to do. It's so, you know, like whiskey. And so I decided, right, I'm going to like it. And it took me about 3 months. But now I still think that I like whiskey. And one of them I like is the Lagavulin 16-year-old.
I feel I've wasted my lockdown. I feel I could have been doing that.
Yeah.
Looking after kids, raising the next generation.
I just, I've always wanted to get into whiskey. I just think I've got too far to go. But for me, people love whiskey. It's like olives. I didn't like olives. But the people who liked olives loved olives. And I was like, I want to be in that gang. I want to feel that way about olives. So I did, and now I like olives.
Don't get me wrong, like real whiskey drinkers, they do scare me. Like the kind of men and women who kind of walk around with a little like dram glass like wrapped around their neck, because there's quite a few like whiskey festivals where they do that. That scares me. No, thank you. But
it's a glimpse into your future.
Into my future. Yeah. But I think that just having one with a large block of ice, I think ice to alcoholic beverages is just good across the board, even with wine. Maybe not a red wine, but
Not Vancho.
Not mulled wine. No. That might be a bit odd. I remember I was in France and I had a glass of Sauvignon Blanc and I had an ice cube in it, and the sommelier, he was so, the word to describe him was cross. He was a cross boy. And so just a glass of ice in a Lagavulin whiskey. Yes, please.
That's heavy. Are you ever diluting your whiskey with water?
No, I think the ice cube does it for me. Right. And so I think after a while,
it gets better over time.
It does get better over time as it becomes more like cordial. So as the ice cube melts, it becomes more of a juice, whiskey juice. But at the beginning, it's very punchy and it just gives you a big old kick.
Stuff. Do you know anything about Lagavulin?
Not a huge amount. I have read it's not for the faint-hearted, but inspires fanatical devotion in its many followers, which sounds about accurate.
Sounds about right, yeah.
And I do like a food pairing sometimes when we talk about these drinks.
I love that.
And it says, combine the mighty flavours of the whiskey with Gorgonzola, Roquefort, Stilton, or any other aged blue cheese for a mouth-watering experience.
Cheese and whiskey.
Did you do that?
I haven't. No, lockdown? I didn't. I didn't decide to get really into Cathedral City whilst during lockdown.
That's just not on the list.
Just Cathedral, going through their list of mature, extra mature, really bloody mature.
I like a food pairing with a wine or something like, or drink in general, sort of thing. I've got.
But is it not just all theatre? It's all show.
I don't know if it is, because one year I got given a goose. For Christmas dinner, I did some work for someone who had a
Dick
goose.
Turpin.
I got paid in goose. I did a favour for someone who had a goose farm, and edited a video for them. It's a quick thing, and they said, "We'll give you a goose for Christmas." I didn't want a goose. I wanted turkey, but I thought, "Well, we're getting a goose. I don't want to unnecessarily kill birds, so we're going to eat the goose." So I looked up what wine goes with the goose, and it was a German Gerst, something, I don't know how you say it, or how you spell it, or what the word is. But it wasn't the kind of wine I would normally have. But I remember drinking it thinking, do you know what? This does actually taste good when with this.
Goose wine. Yeah. I love that you got paid in goose.
I like it. I like a barter economy.
Yeah, how does the tax man deal with that?
I don't know.
Send him a few feathers or a wing.
HMSC asking you for a goose wing.
I send them the wishbone and they can take it from there. So that's your first spirit. What are you having to match that?
Next up on the list, I'm having a Disaronno.
Lovely.
Which is...
First person, I believe, in Moon Underwater history to choose Disaronno.
Wow, really?
Seems a surprise.
Also known as Amaretto.
Disaronno is popular with the youth, of which I'm including you.
Yes. It's
when
sweet.
We were younger, it was exclusively drunk by my gran and that sort of ilk. It's the most surprising. It is like sherry.
That's what I was just gonna say. It's
like, really?
Yeah, it's like if I went out and the kids ordering sherries at the bar, I'd be like, what? I find it so funny now that
the Disaronno is now relatively cool again.
Tell us why you picked Disaronno.
So I'm allergic to almonds. Now, Disaronno is made of almonds.
Right.
And it seemingly is the one almond that bit that I'm not allergic to.
Oh, but that's because it isn't made of almonds.
Oh, is it not?
Oh, yeah.
What's it made
of? It's almond flavoured. It does not contain any almonds.
Oh, great.
So that's why.
I'm getting my almond kicks somewhere else.
Yeah, you were thinking that this is the way in. This is the way to cure me.
I thought it was kind of some weird of homeopathy.
Yeah.
And so I remember drinking a Disaronno sour when I was quite young, at kind of 17, 18, and thinking, God, this is like juice and it's amazing. Mm. And it's a way to get my kind of almond kicks. And you can have it with Coca-Cola. It makes very, very nice. Or you can just have it neat and it doesn't feel like it's blowing your head off and you feel like you need to be cool by drinking a spirit, but you are being cool because you're drinking a spirit. And I think it's just overall in my list of things that I've put forward, other than the other sweet item along with the Passion Star Martini cocktail. So a Disaronno, please, for my spirit.
Wonderful. How do you drink your Disaronno? With Coke?
With Coca-Cola, yes, and or maybe just one big block of ice.
Mm.
Because, yeah, you need just it to be nice and smooth, nice and cold, and down the hatch.
Any facts, Dan, apart from the lack of almonds?
Yes, well, it was originally called Amaretto di Saronno, so Saronno is the place where it was made, and then in 2001 they decided to rebrand so they could distinguish themselves from other amarettos,
right?
And rebranded as Disaronno.
Yeah. So they just kind
so
of
it used to
got
be
rid
Amaretto,
of the
Amaretto di Saronno, and they. Sort of,
they put it together, Disaronno.
Yeah,
wow.
And I do like the bottle as well. Back to the bottle.
Yes,
and
the bottle.
The way that it is presented.
It's sort of like
a
square with a bit on the top.
Yes. It's a square with a bit on the top, but the top has got a real kind of like screw cap,
yeah.
And you have to like spin it quite like a sensory thing you get in like a play area.
Yes,
where it spins lots of time before the lid comes off of the bottle. So no, it's very sweet. It's very nice. Very tasty. And it allows me to get my almond kicks without an EpiPen.
It's a great point about the bottle, actually. It was created in the 70s by a master glassmaker from Venice, and it's been exhibited in Le Louvre in Paris as part of an exhibition about objects of design.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's good enough for the French. Yeah. It's good enough for me.
Yeah.
So
wonderful.
Yeah, no, beautiful
I'm a big
bottle.
Fan of
yeah.
There's not much else to be said on it other than that it pairs well with a number of different soft drinks.
Oh,
although
I thought you were going to say cheeses.
No, and or cheeses.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that a Disaronno or an Amaretto sour is with egg. I didn't realize that you use egg white in a sour, makes it all frothy on the top, which hey, if we can involve eggs in this as well, fantastic.
Well, in the 70s, I think it was, Bobby Moore, England World Cup winning captain.
Yeah, may rest in peace.
Yes, used to advertise, I can't remember what, it might have been Courage Bitter. It was a bitter anyway. And he was in a pub and he had a final line, we had to say something and then he'd drink the bitter. And he said like years later that they wanted the froth on top. So every time he had to do that bit, they'd got some like frothy egg white that they put on top of the beer. So every time he had to drink that, he was sort of just getting beer and egg white. Doing that to the World Cup winning captain. What are you doing? Just give him a fresh pint.
Yeah.
My vanilla ice cream recipe just uses the egg yolks. And I was thinking, what can I do with the egg whites?
Oh, now you know.
Now I can have Disaronno
in your jar. You're of age now. Yeah. Get this down, your son.
There you go.
Wonderful. Disaronno is in Max's pub. Max, you share, we've discussed it earlier, my love of skiing.
Oh, I do.
How important is a pub to a ski holiday?
It is very important. I think, unfortunately, the après scene has slightly overtaken the pub in various resorts because now they need to cater to the young KPMG graduates who are there on their kind of like ski trip with work, and they've always got to be like a DJ Dex. And so the pub, I think, in ski resorts around the Alps have probably slightly dwindled in their popularity and their frequency. But it's incredibly important because you go in there, you need to have a place that serves a hot chocolate immediately from when you get in.
Yeah.
To then graduate to beers and then wine with the fondue. So if you are a pub in a in kind of a ski resort, you've got to have the most enormous cellar for different varieties of things.
You need a lot of hot things. You need your hot chocolate, but you also need your Van Shou.
Yeah.
That's, or Glühwein, depending on where in the world you are. Yeah, I think it's, I think people focus, when I talk to people about skiing who don't ski, they focus too much on the skiing aspect of a ski holiday, which is such a minor part.
That's a very minor part. I'm always amazed at, obviously, a lot of these kind of places and bars and pubs on skiing resorts are halfway up the mountain.
Yeah.
And just the willingness to let punters just go and then having had 6 pints of lager strapped to very thin acrylic bits of like long like wood on their on their feet and let them genuinely just descend thousands of meters on the side of a mountain is quite remarkable. And I was talking to somebody who's a snow angel. Their job is a snow angel, which is genuinely they're there on the slopes at about 3:30 to 5 o'clock just to make sure that no one like first A crashes, and if they do, they're not just left on the mountain overnight and therefore most likely succumb to hypothermia.
Yeah.
But it's just a very laissez-faire attitude taken towards people's health and safety.
I don't do it. I don't drink when I'm skiing. You know, I used to
drink
a lot when I was younger sort of thing, and it seemed I could do it. Never do it now. Okay, I'll have one beer. This isn't safe at all.
Not at all.
I remember a while ago getting so drunk in teen at the Folly Deuce up at Val d'Isère and then try to get back. I was so drunk, I skied to the wrong ski resort and had to get a bus back. I was going to the bottom, I was like, I don't live here. And that was, I was with some friends and they all got the lift down. And when I lived in Whistler, there was a phrase, death before download, which meant you were better to die on the mountain than to get the lift down. And that was in the back of my head. I was thinking, I cannot be judged by the people I knew when I was 22. Yeah, you were better, rather than download on the lift, you were better to die.
You're better dead.
You're better to die. And that was in the back of my mind. And I've been there for most of the week. I hadn't fallen over at any point. And my friends were, so they were on the lift. I went down a little blue run and just, with nothing around me, just fell over. And they were like, we are not seeing Robbie again. But yeah, it is mad though that you can do that, and it seems like now, I think no, that's absolutely mental that would do that.
I think that it's good that they've mandatory made it that helmets are needed, required for all skiers. Yeah. But yeah, here you go. Here's lots of alcohol. Here's a very dangerous sport. Mm. Go for it.
Combine it.
Yeah.
Have you got a particular ski resort, bar, or pub that you've enjoyed over the years that's your favourite?
Well, I think that the Folly Deuce, not that I have enjoyed it in the sense of like I love going there and getting drunk, it is just fantastic to watch people whilst they're there, because as you can hear from my voice, I'm a posh individual, and so my fellow posh brothers and sisters, my fellow red trouser wearing boys and girls, they are so much fun to just to witness experiencing their first time. And so I can't remember the name of various different places other than the Folly Deuce, but it's just fantastic. We once on a skiing trip, we brought one of these huge human catapult things that require three people to operate it. So it's like a really long bit of strings. There's one person holding one end, another person holding the other, and the other person in the middle who sits and just directs this catapult. And we sat on the other side of a little crest of a hill and just, it was kind of like long range mortar fire into the Folly Deuce. And because we were on skis, we were able to maneuver ourselves very quickly. And eventually the staff just kind of gave up trying to stop us because we were probably about 100 meters away from the from the bar, but we were just raining down a hellfire of snowballs onto the various grads who were enjoying themselves at Folly Deuce. So that was a very fond memory.
I do love watching posh people drinking. I don't know why. I enjoy it. I remember I got invited along to the Soho House Festival.
Yeah, oh God, that is very posh.
Very posh there. And I heard the greatest line I've ever heard. And it was a posh gentleman shouting to his friend, because this festival, I think it's quite expensive. I didn't buy a ticket, I got given one. I think it's quite expensive to go, and it's free food and drink when you're there. And they have some quite fancy food stuff there. And I heard this guy who was wearing red trousers, and he shouted to his friend, and it was a stereotypical posh name that he shouted, like Tristan or something like that. And he shouted, "Tristan, quick, they're almost out of lobo at the lobster stall." You eat lobster so often that you've had to abbreviate it.
Mate,
I love that.
When Bertie's almost missing out on the lobo, you got to let him know. Get the lobo in.
Get the lobo in. Max, every week our regular Dan here asks the listeners for a suggestion of what our guests can put in their dream pub. Dan, who have you been chatting to this week?
I've been speaking to Joe, Robbie. And Joe's going to give a suggestion, Max.
Yeah.
Have a listen to their suggestion.
Okay.
You can accept it into your pub.
Yeah.
You're absolutely free to reject it out of hand.
Don't be polite.
No, yeah. I will not.
Yeah.
I will not stand on ceremony.
Okay, let's see what Joe has to say.
Hi, this is Joe, and my suggestion for Max's pub is an animatronic model of the laddiest urban legend. Cropsey! This model could then have a drink with the lads or even be used to scare off troublemakers. Love the pod, all the best.
Cropsey, this, yes.
This is quite like a sort of Avengers style crossover yeah. podcast here.
The PCU, the podcast cinematic universe. Yeah. Cropsey was an individual that I birthed on the Happy Hour podcast, a podcast that Robbie Knox also is on. And it's about a serial killer, or it's about an urban legend.
I don't think I was on the episode.
Oh, were you
no,
not?
I think so. So you probably know more about where you were.
I can't. It was about 2 or 3 years ago. But Cropsey was an individual that killed people in the woods. And to be fair, he needs a bit of refilling of his glass between murders. So I would like, I hear Joe's suggestion and I absolutely didn't like refuse it out of hand because I have got somebody else that I would like to be in the pub.
Are you against the idea of a massive animatronic thing?
No, not at all. I think we've seen with the Rainforest Cafe can yeah. do it very well.
How about if instead of Cropsey?
Yeah.
We had a big chicken.
Yeah, fine.
And maybe
absolutely.
Your pub is next to the M1.
Yeah, the pub is next to the M1.
Next to a little shop.
It's actually like all good pubs.
Like all good pubs. All good homely and accessible pub. It's very accessible.
Not that yeah. much different to the skiing pub or no. the ski slope, is it?
The, really? And obviously because of, if we think of the anatomy of a chicken, they've got very skinny legs. That is the ladder up to the pub, which is in the inside of the chicken.
Inside of the animatronic chicken.
Inside
the chicken. Is constantly moving.
The chicken is currently moving so up and down. It's walking up and down the M1,
yeah.
deciding where
drink
to cross.
Spilling.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful.
So we've all got these gyroscopic tables that kind of move alongside the movement
like
of
a camera yeah, gimbal.
Yes, exactly. Of the
fabulous.
Enormous gyroscopic chicken.
Gosh, thank God there's no budget requirement for the Midnight Water because that is yeah. fantastic. So Joe's idea is rejected, but an amended version
absolutely.
Has been accepted. So well done. Max, time for a CD to go into the pub jukebox. Oh, right. I say CD, it could be a mini disc if you'd rather. What are you going to go for?
So I am going for, now often I'm sure people on the pod, well, I know people on the pod, they'll go for one artist, mm-hmm. your Fleetwood Max, if you will. And you're like, oh yeah, let's listen to Stevie for a couple of hours. No. I want range in my yeah. album and I want different types of music. And so that is why in my pub, I would like to put on, now that's what I call music 65. from 2006. It's got numbers such as I Don't Feel Like Dancing oh, yeah. by the Scissor Sisters.
Amazing.
Chelsea Dagger by the Fratellis. Oh. Promiscuous Nelly Furtado. And of course, Razorlight with America. It's also got the highest selling single of the 21st century, Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol.
Wow.
I think I'm right in saying that it's the most played on.
Surely Mr. Brightside has beaten that.
No, I think Chasing Cars, I think, is the most successful
single.
Maybe
Mr. Brightside was later, possibly. Maybe.
Either way.
Oh, who knows?
And the reason why now that's what I call music, just as an entity, was very, very important to me in my formative years. Mm. And I think we would get them. I think I would get the next one for Christmas every single year. Mm. And it would be on rotation for the entire year. And I think that when you're in a pub, you want different vibes. You want suddenly, it's great. If there's a lull in conversation when you're at the pub, suddenly the jolt of a new song sometimes does bring about a new topic of conversation. And if you're listening to the same artist or the same album, then there's not much avenue, not many avenues of conversation to go down. But suddenly when the Pussycat Dolls' I Don't Need a Man comes on, that's when the relationship conversations start coming up. And it's really got everything you want. And then towards the end of the B-side of Now 65, that's what I call music, it's got Cascada Every Time We Touch. So at the beginning of the night, you're listening to, you know, the Sisters and you're feeling a bit groovy. This is fun, bit of a party. And then suddenly, bam, EDM music. Yes, please. Thank you very much.
I am older in the YouTube space, as you may have noticed, and nothing can show that more than the fact that the first Now album I got, it was in single digits.
Really?
Yeah. I can't remember what it was.
Was it just now? That's what I call music.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I wasn't. I'm not that old. But...
It's like when they called the World War One the Great War because they didn't know there was a second one coming.
Yeah. The sequel. No. Yeah, it's worrying if you're on that and people are calling World War One one. What happens afterwards?
Yeah. Let's just stop that. Yeah. One.
You see, this album is coincides with my time at Soccer AM of doing music for Soccer AM, and it is amazing how few songs we were playing on Soccer AM have made it onto this album.
Oh yeah.
There's quite a lot of stuff that wasn't really on our play. Razorlight's on there.
Yeah, Razorlight, of course.
Fratelli's, Sister Sisters we used to play.
The Keen, Kasabian, Pink, Lily Allen, All Saints, Robbie Williams, although it's Robbie Williams' album, Rude Box, that was famously the one that when he split up with Guy Chambers as a writing partner and decided to go alone, and it was an absolute disaster. But I think it's just got everything you need on an album.
I met Robbie Williams once, and it was backstage at a Paddy McGuinness stand-up show in the dressing room, and he came in and came over and he said, oh, hi. And he we were in a group and he came up and said, hi. And he said to me, he said, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And I said, oh, hi, Robbie. And what I meant to say was like, hi, Robbie, to you. So but I realized I just said his name back at him. Oh. And I went, no, I'm Robbie. And then that just sounded mental, like I was trying to compete over who was Robbie. And it just didn't go well.
Wild. Yeah. God, I guess that does put you in a bit of a predicament.
Yeah, I could have if I'd thought about it and planned it, I would have gone, hi, I'm Robbie too, or something like that. But I just basically shouted Robbie at him a lot.
Yeah. Robbie too. It's like the whole Now 65 issue all over again.
Yeah, there we go. So Robbie
2, Soccer AM, Boogaloo.
You're not the first person to pick a Now album, is it?
No, we've had a couple, haven't we? A couple of
I had one written recently. Was it Matthew Crosby picked the least popular
the
Now?
The least popular, yes, Matthew picked the least popular Now record,
which is what
it was. Give me a second.
I remember it was the one that came out around the time I did my driving test. So
yeah,
we're now six. I can't remember what
it was.
I'm gonna say now 14 or something.
It was now seven.
Now
seven.
No,
yeah,
and no,
it was yeah,
no,
now
no?
seven.
No, it wasn't. No,
oh, have I typed it in wrong?
I think it was now 17 or something. 17. It definitely wasn't.
I think you might be right.
It came when were you doing your driving test, Robbie?
I was 17, so I was born in 1977, so 1994?
Okay, well, Now 19 came out in 1991. This is getting the semantics of the Now albums now.
I'm so very curious
maybe
as to what...
Maybe it's Now 27.
Oh, yeah, maybe, yeah.
Well, Joe Wilkinson did pick Now That's What I Call Music, volumes 1 to 4.
What that
so
is.
So he did pick the very first one.
Yeah, but he can't. I mean,
you can't choose four.
That was before our time.
Yeah.
Take it out with a previous landlord.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see what the first one I ever had was.
I can't believe. What are they? What number Now are they on at the moment?
The most recent Now album appears to be. Now That's What I Call Music, 116.
Yes,
right?
That's what I've seen. 116. Yeah. They're still going. They're still pumping them out. Hey. Big business. It's good business.
Do you know what? I think I might have lied. I think the first one I had might have been number 11. I think I might have just missed out on single figures.
Still pretty low, though.
Yeah, I know it is this because I remember it had Morris Minor and the Major Stutter Rap on it.
My God, I've forgot about that song for a long time.
And Belinda Carlisle, Heaven's a Place on Earth. Anyway, we digress. A great choice using the compilation album.
Technique.
Yep.
Technique to get in there.
Yeah.
Have you got a favourite track on the album?
I think it's probably Stargirl by McFly.
I don't know that one.
How's
it go?
Oh, hey. I'm looking out for my Stargirl. And there's some love. Yeah, I hate you so much.
I genuinely don't know. But me and, in another side story, a brief thing, me and Danny from McFly once broke Andy from the enemy's leg on a table whilst drinking. I don't think that needs any more explanation.
You've committed friends that commit grievous bodily harm together stay together. Yeah. That's the saying, of course it is.
My first post-divorce pint, the gin I had in Hull, my nan's homemade buckfast, the rum I drank with Liz Hurley, the lager I stole from the pigeon detectives. Right, it is time now for a drinking time, Max. And this is where the moon underwater will transport you through the very fabric of time to go back to an occasion from your past where you had a drink and you can relive that one more time.
Yeah.
What would you like to pick?
I'd like to have box wine.
Nice.
In Perpignan, in the south of France, with my best mates. Now, this was a number of years ago, and we kind of, a friend of mine, one of my best friends, Charlie, said, oh, my parents have got a place they're selling in France. Should we all go down there? And this place had been bought in the 1960s or 70s and had not been touched. So like, and so it was very, very 60s decor, so much so there was like a sunken, in the living room, a sunken like conversation pit.
Oh, wonderful.
And it kind of like had a central fire that we didn't want to try and turn on just in case the entire house burned down.
Yeah.
And we were all quite young. It was the first time we'd kind of been away and we'd been given this place to ourselves. And all we did was buy the cheapest alcohol that we could, which was box wine. I think it was a box Merlot. And got so pissed playing all sorts of kind of games that we, there's a game called In the Manner of, or In the Style of, and you have to act out something, but then you're given an adjective to describe how to do it. So in the manner of someone who has just found out they've got a parking ticket. And then then you have to, it's basically like charades. Yeah. You have to like more subjective. And we got really pissed. And that's actually where I had an in-depth conversation about whether we looked at the pool and said whether we had ever drunk the amount of liquid that was within that pool.
Right.
And we spent about 2 hours talking about that. And it just encapsulated a moment of just total freedom. I was probably 21, 22, getting pissed with my mates on box wine. It was absolutely delicious from the local Carrefour. And as I was the only like relative French speaker there, I was kind of doing all of the chatting. I was doing a lot of like flirting with the staff in Carrefour, because I thought, fuck it, I'm in Perpignan, I can do a bit of flirting if I like. Yeah. It was just absolutely
flirting on more. Like.
Yeah, flirting on. Yeah, yes, good, please. Yeah. Hello. And it was just absolutely incredible.
That's wonderful. That's such a lovely time in life, isn't it? When you've got that, where you don't know the crushing reality of life that's ahead of you.
You're all at university and you're kind of thinking, why not? And actually, funny enough, it's kind of there where I had the idea to start making YouTube videos as well. So we were discussing what I could do and interview people. And like after that holiday, I went back to university and I made kind of my first ever YouTube video. So it was kind of it was a very formative experience for me.
Fabulous. And box wine is a great drink for that sort of occasion.
Yeah. Mm. I love box wine because over the hours of you drinking it, it takes on different forms. So when you start it, you push through the perforated bit that allows the nozzle to come out of the box wine. And then you have to fiddle with the kind of the gun system into
maybe break off the thing that stops it,
the plastic, and you push through the little nozzle through the little hole, and you kind of squeeze it into your glass. But then obviously there's a time where physics takes over and it's quite difficult to get out the final bits of the box wine, and so then
you're at the bladder stage,
and then you then the bladder comes out and you
break the box open get that. I've been at Glastonbury chanting to our friends, suck the bladder dry as they try and squeeze the final bits from this bladder of wine.
So you then kind of do this kind of very Neanderthal primal thing where you genuinely rip open the box. Like you don't carefully unpeel it because of all the glue of the cardboard, it makes it quite difficult.
Yeah.
So you just tear it cardboard from cardboard.
Previously, you'd shown it quite a lot of respect.
You had shown it a lot of respect at the beginning of the night. I thought, God, this is such.
You've carefully fitted the thing through the groove.
Absolutely. And you've said, of course, the thing that you have to say, that's actually quite nice.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You always say that. Actually, this is really nice. And it was so cheap as well. Yeah. So you have all that kind of bit of patter. But by that point, you've probably had about 4 glasses of wine. And you're right, it's time for the bladder to come out. And friends of mine have developed a game called Slippy Bag, where you stand in a ring and you're probably about 2 meters apart from each other, and you cover the bladder of a box wine in some sort of oil or Vaseline or very slippery substance. And the only game you do is you throw the bladder to anybody in the circle. If they drop the bladder, they have to drink a copious amount of box wine from what's remaining within the bladder.
That's wonderful.
And it's such a stupid game. You're just hurling this plastic, oiled up, slippery bag of wine at each other. And if you drop it, away, drink it. And then after time, because obviously you've dropped it, it gets covered in grass or whatever the composition of the ground is that you're playing this on. So then you get gravelly slippy bag or grassy slippy bag, and it's a fantastic game.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
and obviously you'll be bringing that into your pub.
Oh, of course. Then suddenly we all play a game of slippy bag.
Do you play that outdoors? I suggest.
It's important you play that outdoors because. Otherwise, I think you need a lot of space, and the further you can hurl it, the better. Mm. But because of the physics of the liquid inside the bag, the trajectory of the bag changes mid-flight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you throw it, all of the liquid goes to the front of the bag and it's used as a propulsion. But as it's kind of suspended in the air, then the liquid then re-equilibriumizes, itself amongst the bag, and so that just drops like a stone. So you really need to understand the flight of slippy bag.
So as much of a lot of physics involved.
Oh, a lot of physics. So, You're learning and drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the box wine has in all of alcohol and all of drinking, it has the biggest gap from intent and reality. Mm. I think the designers of box wine thought, do you know what? Not everyone wants to drink a whole bottle of wine of an evening. We'll make this box that can go in the fridge or on the side and everyone can have one glass every evening. And the reality is British people going to France to buy a massive box, the cheapest possible thing that they can drink in one go and play slippy bag.
Yeah, slippy bag. Slippy bag for all rounds. And it's always because it's always in just around the road where they've made it. So it's always very cheap, also very nice wine.
Just imagining some French company also printing the rules to slippy bag on the side of the box.
In broken English.
Well, a terrific memory there. That sounds a great time. It's now time for us to find out Max's dream pub companion, but that is only for those of you who have made the smart investment in the Moon Underwater Patreon. If you want to find out about that, you can subscribe at moonunderpod.com, and for the rest of you, we'll be back after this brief interlude.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You are barred. Welcome back to all the non-patronizers. A lovely answer, a little bit odd from Max, but not what you would expect.
Unpredictable.
Max, it's time now to bar something for your pub. What would you like to not have in your Moon Underwater?
So I know that a lot of people probably say screens.
Popular.
And I think that screens have a very good place in every pub. Now, I was recently in Iceland filming a video where I cooked a ready meal in a volcano. And after we filmed it, we had a couple of days to kill in Iceland, Reykjavik, which is a fantastic place if you haven't been. And we went into all the pubs and bars that they were on offer, and they all had screens in there, but they weren't showing any form of football or sport. They were showing a live stream of the volcano that was erupting 25 miles down the road.
Wow.
And it was all different angles of the same eruption.
Wow.
So they'd set up cameras, and it was like those kind of like sensory things that you put on for kids to get them to stop crying. It was, you just looked at it and just, it's like a lava lamp. You just stared at it just in raptures as you're watching this lava.
It was actual lava.
Actual lava lamp.
An actual lava lamp. From an actual thing that was like 25 miles down the road.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm a big fan of screens in pubs if they're showing something that is something a little bit novel. And what I would ban from the pub, I was kind of going between two things, which is in toilet. One of the things that I would probably like to ban is the signage in toilets in pubs.
Mm.
We've obviously, with the rise of gastropubs, the difficulty of deciphering whether you are a vole or a badger, knowing which is the correct lavatory for you to be going into, I find quite a difficult conundrum to. Suddenly, I'm doing a pub quiz when I really do not want to have to do a pub quiz. So I was contemplating banning that. But no, the one thing I would ban is pub garden closing times, because obviously they close earlier than than the rest of the pub because of quote unquote the neighbours.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, fuck the neighbours.
They've
moved in next to a pub. The pub was probably there before.
Yeah.
I think there is, in the summer, being in a pub garden, it doesn't feel like you're at the pub. It adds an extra level of just total bliss to the pub experience. Because
you need someone to throw around a
you know,
bladder.
Yeah, we need space for Slippy Bag.
Yeah.
So I think that the pub garden closing at 10, and then obviously the bartender has to come round. Sorry guys, we're just closing the bar in 10 minutes. And then there's always one table that doesn't quite heed the advice and stays out there a bit longer. Then they have a firm word with them. So, no, you need to come inside. Or get worried in trouble with the council. I thought, you know what? Let's just keep it out as long as you'd like and just deal with the consequences later.
Lovely.
I like that.
Yeah.
I know your views on the neighbours, but what about the neighbours? Is there anything we can do for the neighbours as well?
I think, of course, there's something we do for the neighbours. The beer garden is open for them 24/7.
Right, interesting. Right.
So I like this idea of a memberships opportunity. So, okay, how about this?
Okay.
The beer garden closes early, like the normal time. But if you know one of the neighbours, or if you're with one of the neighbours, you can stay out there for as long as you would like.
Okay.
So it then becomes an element of exclusivity, so that not only Tom, Dick, or Harry is just kind of sticking out there making a nuisance of themselves. But if you know Jim from upstairs and next door, and you can convince him to come down and he joins
in his pajamas.
Then exactly in his pajamas, fine. But he just has to be one of the neighbours.
Yeah.
If there's 10 neighbours, you can stay out there for as long as you would like.
There's going to be one very unpopular neighbour who's always at the pub.
Yeah.
Who's just like, can you just not go to the pub tonight, Jim? My kids have cried. Like an hour to get him to bed.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
would. So, well, okay, well, it's your pub.
It's my pub.
You do what you want. We are banning the early closing of the pub garden. It is nice when you're a proper country pub and there's no beer garden closing time.
No, it's just the countryside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you got a favourite pub?
I do have a favourite pub. There's one called the Warmer Castle, which is quite close to me. There's one called the Mitre, which is also quite close to me. And there is one that I think is newly named, I think, called the Quiet Night Inn. And that will kind of go on to my naming of my pub. But I always do enjoy a pub that's got a bit of a pun about it, because a little bit like Pink Diesel. It's like, let's just have a bit of a titter as we walk past and enjoy ourselves, even if we're not going inside.
Why not?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, we'll get onto that, Max. First of all, if people have enjoyed hearing you here, which I'm sure they will have, hearing you slur your words after one batch of Dry Martini, what actions can they take for that? They can subscribe to your YouTube channel.
They can do that for free on youtube.com/MaxFosh. And if you want to know how you spell Fosh, it's like fish, but with an O.
Yeah.
Which I say to people when I'm kind of on the phone to the bank, and I once got some correspondence for Max Fisho. I thought, no.
Which is quite a good name.
Which is quite a good name, actually. Yeah. So no, you can find me on YouTube at Max Fosh.
Your name, Max, you're the best form of Max, aren't you?
I'm a Maximilian, which once caused a Geordie taxi driver to genuinely lose his mind. He could not fathom this idea that I was called Max-a-million.
Yeah.
And I said, it's not spelled the same. It's not Max-a-million, but it's not far off. He's like, that's amazing.
It is amazing. And whenever I meet Max, I've asked you this question before, because I say, is Max short for something? And I'm always hoping the answer is Maximilian because that's the best one.
Yeah.
Is there another one?
There's Maxwell. Oh,
Maximus.
And the lesser spotted Maximus.
Yeah, yeah, and some people are just called Max.
Yeah, just Max. But no, I'm Maximilian. And rather embarrassingly, I didn't know how to spell my own name until I was 16 because I was filling out a new passport application 16. And it was like first name. It's like Maximilian. I put two L's for Maximilian and my mum looks like, what are you doing? Maximilian's got one L. I thought, oh, that, I didn't know that.
I didn't know how to spell my brother's name until about 2 years ago.
What's the brother called?
He's called Laurie, but his full name's Lawrence. And I genuinely didn't know if it was an AU or a W.
W or a W. What is it?
Or I can't remember now. So or
I knew briefly when I had to fill it in for some document. I think I phoned up and asked.
Lawrence.
I just spell your name.
Yeah.
But since I can't remember now.
So yeah.
I remember it being the one I didn't think it was going to be. I was like, oh. There's a surprise.
During my university kind of like first 2 or 3 weeks, obviously you play the two truths on one lie. I don't think I ingratiated myself with my fellow university goers by that was one of the truths that I couldn't spell my own name. I thought, who the hell is this absolute idiot? Yeah. Who doesn't know
university. How to spell? Yeah, Newcastle was good.
Yeah, he's at the same university as me who doesn't know how to spell his own name. And in their mind, what's your name? Max. This guy doesn't know how to spell the word Max.
Drink up, please. It's time. Speaking of names, it is time for the most important part, which is naming your pub. What are we going to be calling this wonderful place?
The Nobody Inn.
Oh, lovely. And it is inspired nice by the newly...
Inspired by the Quiet Night Inn. And I did have a look, and there is a pub in Devon called the Nobody Inn.
Lovely.
But I think it's a fantastic little pun. It's still keeping the history and heritage of a British public house by being an inn, a place to stay, a place to rest your head, but a fun pun, and will make people...
And self-deprecating.
And self-deprecating as well.
Exactly.
As in, you could be like, you're a nobody, or there is no one here. Mm. It's multifaceted, and I think it's very lovely.
I love it. I've seen a stumble in before. In a pub,
yes. The before, stumble in.
Which is the good last man in. I've seen at a cricket.
Yeah. You know, the last man. Yeah. Is that connected to a cricket ground of some sort? Is it Nottingham? I think there might be one.
Well, I reckon it's probably a lot. The one I saw was at Moat Park in Maidstone.
Yeah. Go to Maidstone.
Yeah, the last man in.
Lovely stuff. A terrific pub there. Dan, would you like to recap what Max has created in his pub?
Lovely pub. Draft choices for Max Fosch, Foster's and Camden Hells. Bottle choices, the M&S Passion Star Martini, which we've enjoyed, and the Pink Diesel Rosé. Spirit choices, Lagavulin 16-year-old whiskey and Disaronno. You amended the listener suggestion by Joe of an animatronic model of Cropsey, who was a murderer.
Yeah.
Yep. And instead, we're going to have an animatronic chicken.
Yeah.
No. It's the whole pub's going to be a chicken.
The whole pub is an animatronic chicken next to the M1.
That's right. Yes.
Of course. Sorry.
Yeah. Your jukebox choice was now that's what I call music 65. Your drinking time was box wine in Perpignan with your best mates playing Slippy Bag.
Yeah.
You've barred pub garden closing times, and your pub name is the Nobody Inn.
Fabulous. Max, thank you so much for joining us at the Mineral Water. It's been a joy as always. Let's head down M&S for some more canned cocktails.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.